Well, you know, change can be exciting and energizing, but sometimes it can also be kind of tinged with regret because the familiar disappears and sometimes it's replaced with things that may not be any better and may indeed wind up being worse than what went before. Well, this morning on Perspectives, we're going to talk with three folks who decided to preserve some of old Tallahassee by giving it a new reason for being. And they have designs on some other projects, too. We're going to talk about all that as well. And we welcome three of the founding members of Foremost Creative to the conversation here this morning on Perspectives. And by the way, I'm Tom Flanagan. If you want to jump in on the conversation, always welcome at 414-1234, the local number. It's 1-800-926-8809 in Tallahassee. Perspectives at WFSU.org is the email. And if you want to tweet us, that's at WFSU Perspective. So let's say hi first to, from my left, your right, going around the table here, Lucas Lindsay, self-described urbanist and optimist.
That's me. Thank you.
What are you optimistic about, Lucas, primarily?
The future, mostly. Yeah, I'm. You know, I see great things happening in this community. I've enjoyed being a part of some of the things that have happened to date. And, you know, I'm constantly optimistic about the way cities reinvent themselves and the direction that community builders can take communities in. I'm happy to be a part of that.
Okay, we're going to plumb a lot of that here as we go throughout the day. Right next door to you here, Michael Wyden, well known for his part in getting the Domi Station incubator up and going. Mike, always good to see you. How's everything at Domi nowadays?
Things are going fantastic. Actually, Lucas has become the new executive director of Domi as of Friday. I'm so excited for his leadership and direction moving it forward. And we are continuing to expand and spread statewide. So we've got a lot of strategy and initiatives coming up, and I couldn't be more excited.
Boy, that is really great. I remember when we did the grand opening of that, and everybody was just so excited about the fact, hey, this right here in this part of town, you have something that's going to allow entrepreneurs to get a handle on how to not only do the fruition of their creativity, but connect with other folks and come up with new things and now expanding across the state. Man, that's really cool.
Absolutely.
Well, next door to you, we also have Jay Kiker, local attorney, many, many other things. How do you fit that all on a business card, by the way?
Well, yeah, not really all on the business card. Yeah, a lot of email addresses. But no, it keeps me busy, and certainly everything that I do is fun and I think fruitful. So.
Okay. Well, guys, let's talk about here the genesis here of the entire concept of Foremost Creative. How did that get started there, Mike?
Yeah, you know, Foremost came out of the things that we're doing at Domi. And really the idea of Foremost was just to bring on a talent pool that was coming out of the university. So you've got designers and some developers and folks that are working at Domi, and really providing an opportunity for them to get involved in their community, help the local startups that are in the community, as well as build portfolios, so to speak. So one of our lead designers and partners, Jacob Waits, it's amazing since he's come in and worked in Domi in the last few years, where he's grown and where he's gone to this point. And that's led into why are we doing this? And it's really trying to attract new talent, bring in new people, get involved in the community, but really kind of change the direction and give them a place, a sense of place in an area that we think is vibrant and should be focused on, which is the south side there near Railroad Square and FAMU Way, leading on the south side of town on South Adams.
Well, the one project that we talked about several times here since you guys were involved with it was taking the old SO/Exxon station down there on South Adams Street, the Happy Motoring, because it still has that logo up there over the facade of the thing, and turning that into something else. Well, why don't you talk about that, Lucas, how you guys just kind of stumbled upon that thing and think this would be a nice repurposing project.
Sure. Yeah, I mean it's the type of building that when you're driving around just strikes you architecturally, right? So we stumbled onto it because we couldn't miss it, really, is the truth. And Jake actually lives in that neighborhood, and so he walks it, he drives it all the time. He's lived there for a number of years in a redeveloped building. And that actually, funny enough, is the genesis for the name Foremost, as we were at Jake's house one evening. And there on the wall is a photo of the old Foremost Dairy that used to be in this warehouse that Jake converted into his home. And so, you know, we realized that we wanted to do something that respected the past in that way and referenced the past. And so that's what we named our group. We wanted to improve the quality of design and local business in the community. We wanted to be active in, as community builders, but we thought it was kind of cool to have us throwback and reference to what has been there before, but just giving it new life. And so that building is, you know, it's representative of those things. It's a fun project, and I'm really excited about where we're headed with it.
Yeah, locally we've seen that on a couple of other iterations. I'm thinking, let's see, a religious bookstore, a plumbing headquarters. There's a taco stand out here on Pensacola Street where old service stations have been converted into something else. So let's talk about it, Jake. What Happy Motoring is going to be when you guys are through with it?
Well, first and foremost, I mean, our idea always was to create a hub of activity. We think that the proximity, the location, obviously, to the South Monroe area, Cascades Park, FAMU Way, what we consider to be the ever-expanding innovation district that expands near where Domi Station is at the old railroad station and obviously Railroad Square down in that area. You know, we hope to draw folks from all different areas. I mean, hopefully further from the south, of course, the folks that live over the Myers Park area. Certainly during the weekdays, you know, maybe some estate employees that work up the block, and then of course the folks at Cascades Park, all during the different, you know, weekdays and weekends. And so we wanted to create something that was going to drive activity in that area, because right now, you know, aside from a very, very busy lunch hour at Shell Oyster Bar and the occasional opening of Costa's, the subs right there on the corner, there's just not a whole lot of activity down there, but yet it's still very visible, very open, and one of those few areas in that part of the city where you actually can, you know, once again, walk safely and it is pedestrian friendly to an extent. And we really wanted to just drive activity. And so that was our starting point. It wasn't a situation where we came in saying this is exactly what we want it to be. We knew we wanted to take an existing structure that had a lot of character that we thought should and could be repurposed and just brought in some other folks. And that's one of the things we do, as Micah mentioned, with the idea of Foremost is, you know, no one person always has the best idea. And of course, constantly surrounding yourselves with creative people that have good ideas and good intentions and kind of let it see where it evolves to. And so as it is right now, we've kind of gone with a multi-occupant plan. We've got some great architects that we've been working with on that design and the layout. And, of course, having the repurposed building, that site dictates a lot of what you're able to do with it. It is a small footprint with respect to the building. But, one of Lucas's passions is density and small living and also small workspaces. And so, you know, I think we've come up with a really, really efficient plan and some good community partners and local businesses that will make it a something we can kind of all be proud of.
What kind of time frame are we looking at here for that particular
yesterday?
Like yesterday?
The permit applications have been put in. Obviously, we went before the CRA basically about a month ago to take care of some of the exterior improvements and to have the that put into place. And so, you know, certainly the hope is that we can get the work done and be open here early fall. I mean, ideally, we'd love to be open, you know, August, September.
Mm-hmm. I suspect this isn't the only thing you guys are looking at, though. You've got a bigger master plan out here somewhere, right?
Well, I think, you know, again, how we kind of started the Happy Motoring project, so to speak, as well, was opening it up to the community to come into the building and give their perspective. And from that, we got a lot of other insights to what people want, what people, you know, that are working down at Domi or in that, you know, innovation corridor, so to speak, what they want. And so, you know, following that plan, we want to continue to listen to the community, listen to people and the talent that wants to live here. And hopefully expand on that. And Happy Motoring will be the first kickoff of that. And couldn't be more excited to see what happens. I think it's going to be vibrant. If those of you that are listening, hopefully there's a few, hopefully you've been down FAMU Way and seen that area and the revitalization. Once the pedestrian path comes through, it's going to be really exciting. So.
Yeah, and that is a foot right now. They've been closing off South Monroe Street to get that overpass finalized here for the past several weekends. And it looks like that's before too terribly long, you're going to have a straight shot from Cascades Park over to that Happy Motoring area and that part of the south side. So there's some other interesting edifices in that area too. Speaking of Cascades Park, a little bit closer to that, you've got the old Firestone Building, which was the former city jail. I think one of the only truly Art Deco pieces of architecture that we have here in this town. And there's a group called Save the Firestone that's out there. You guys talk to any of those people at all? Or?
No, I mean, I haven't, you know, I haven't been in contact with any of those groups, but I certainly, you know, I understand the perspective of people that want to invest and empower historic preservation. I mean, certainly there are a lot of benefits to readapting old buildings and reusing them. There's cultural benefits. There's very clear economic benefits. And so, you know, it makes sense that that's part of the conversation in this community. I think that, you know, historically, it's been more of a suburban style of development that we've seen here. So we haven't had to deal with a lot of these issues in terms of public policy and community engagement. This, you know, these are good problems to have in a way, right? And these are the problems that urban focused development creates, but they're also opportunities, right? To take something and do something new. The famous urbanist Jane Jacobs once said that it takes new ideas need old buildings. Old ideas need new buildings, right? And that's because there's a certain amount of risk involved with doing something new, doing something innovative. So it often means that you can't outlay the capital to do a whole new ground up new build for something. But more corporate style development, those sorts of things that have established business models and make a lot of sense, cash flow well, and you can borrow against with the bank, you can do new builds with that sort of thing. But it takes old spaces repurposed to invest in innovation and a new direction for a community. And it also resonates emotionally with people, those sorts of buildings. And I think that, you know, last night they announced on Facebook that the Coke plant in All Saints is going to become an All Saints distilling company, right? And within half hour, there were 40, 50 shares on Facebook. Little Tallahassee viral moment, right? And it resonates with people. It's emotional. It's visceral. And I think it takes old buildings to make that happen.
And talk about a structure with some really, really good bones on it. That old Coca-Cola building is about as solid as it gets. I had a friend that once operated an advertising agency out of that, and I was just endlessly fascinated with the way that was laid out. We're talking to members of Foremost Creative here on WFSU's Perspectives. If you want to join the conversation, 414-1234, 800-926-8809, and we'll be right back. Yeah, as communities grow and develop and change and go through this metamorphosis that they always do, you always got this really interesting interplay between preservation and just doing a fresh page and starting all over again. And Tallahassee's going through that right now in a very interesting kind of way. And that's why we have three guys here from Foremost Creative. They're working on that happy motoring project down there on South Adam Street, the old Exxon station. Was it originally Esso or Exxon? That kind of predated, I think, when I got down here.
So it was originally an Esso station in the mid-century. And actually Esso, I believe, was either bought out or converted into Exxon.
Yeah, because it started off as Standard Oil of New Jersey. And then, went off to there when they combined with someone else, Humble or something. I don't know, all that oil company stuff there. But it is really interesting to see a building repurposed from that original gas station type of environment to something now that will become a magnet for the community and everyone to get together and do cool things. How do you guys work out the balance between the folks who maybe have a very, I don't want to say limited, but a definite idea of what's going on? I heard a story the other day, and this was in relation to the South Side development thing. And I see. What is it? Sobe? What are we calling that now? It
had... for a couple of years now, some of the folks down there refer to it as SOMO, as in South
SOMO.
Dakota.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, it reminds me of what was on South Park last night when they did a redevelopment around Kenny's house, you know, which is a tumble-down shack.
SOPOT. Yeah, that's a great episode, actually. SOPOT,
yeah. And I immediately thought of this show, and I thought, but how do you balance that? You have, you know, folks who have lived there maybe for generations and generations, and they don't want to give that up. And yes, it may be tacky and a little bit low rent, but that's who these folks are. And you have the other forces saying, no, let's come in and convert that to a very gentrified and upscale kind of situation. I even heard someone say that a light industrial business had wanted to locate on the south side and had been sort of discouraged because somebody didn't have that as part of the overall master plan. So how do you balance that? Any ideas, guys?
Well, I mean, and obviously for the listeners that are not aware, you can just based upon his verbiage, Lucas, his background is in urban planning. I mean, that's his thing. And so he's done a lot of research on these types of topics. And I think from our perspective, it's about how the development is done and the level of community engagement. I mean, for us, it was important. It's funny, we actually, you know, in essence, replicated what we did at Domi. I mean, before we sat down and actually got with the architects to redo the building that, of course, Domi Station is now in, we actually invited everyone that we thought would be involved in Domi. I mean, the entrepreneurs, the service providers, all those people to come down and listen to them and say what do they want to see versus us imposing our vision upon them. And when we acquired the Happy Motoring Station, we did the same thing. We had a huge community event. You probably saw some of the pictures and videos online. We had folks from the neighborhood, both at Myers Park and on the northern side of FAMU over there. You know, it was an incredibly diverse group to get their input and to let them, you know, have a say in that discussion and to see, you know, gauge what the folks around that property thought would go well there. And I think that, you know, while that's not always going to drive, you know, the final decision, we took a lot of that under advisement. And I think that they'll all be very, very happy that we had a big, huge board actually during the Battle of the Boards event where they wrote down ideas. And I think the final product that which we're putting out right now checks off, I think, four or five of those different boxes that were, you know, repeated over and over again. So it's something that we're cognizant of. I think that it really goes back to what, you know, that authentic community engagement and that kind of hyper-local focus that we're trying to work with.
Yeah, was there much pushback? I mean, from anyone who said, boy, that is a horrible idea to have some sort of community gathering, multi-purpose edifice here in this old gas station. We want to see, you know, multifamily condos or something. Did you have any of that?
I mean, if there's been pushback to bringing people together like that, we haven't heard about it. We haven't seen it. I've seen a lot of excitement. I mean, I think we're tapping into something that you know, people haven't had a lot of opportunity to voice, you know, a more locally focused developments style, right? And I think that's the other this question of like gentrification and who benefits from redevelopment is kind of definitely at the crux of this issue, right? And so, you know, Jake talks about engagement as one way. I think that the hyper-local focus that he also mentioned is another way to ensure that local people do benefit from redevelopment in some way. So, like, you know, we're interested in working with local businesses and local entrepreneurs. We do that every day at Domi, but in the development sense, you know, I don't even know. I couldn't even tell you how to get in touch with a Jimmy John's rep to put a corporate chain store in. I have such little interest in even going that direction. I don't even know how it works. I'm interested in people creating new concepts and improving their brands. So, you know, we're trying to build something that's for locals, by locals, and it's you know, you're going to see local businesses in there in a new concept, you know, and even an improvement or a new evolution of what they have been doing. But you're not going to see chains and things. And so I think that's one way you help keep the benefit and the fiscal benefit, the capital local, is one way to make sure that the community benefits more authentically and is not driven by, you know, outside forces.
And that's something, Mike, I think you and I had talked about a long time ago. It's not just having a facility like Domi Station so that entrepreneurs can come out of a marketing or some other background at the university and come up with the next killer app. It's also how to create from scratch a very successful retail business, for instance, and have those people stay in this area and put down roots and prosper and become a real working part of the community.
Absolutely. I think that's extremely important. You know, local business support, seeing them grow. And if we can help in some little way and show a path, so to speak, and work with them continually to see if, you know, if we can help them with a scaled model over time, but put them in a place to be successful, you know, not just set rates very high, you know, in a position where small business can't afford to sustain. It's just impossible to get off the ground. We want to help them early and then continue to see them flourish and grow. And so we find that area allows us to be able to do that. And it's fantastic. You know, it's flat. You can see the skyscape. It's convenient, parks and what have you. And I think all of that lends itself to being a great area to see small business and local business then scale up and expand into, you know, maybe the next, you know, healthy food large healthy food chain or something. So we'll see.
Okay. What else can these sorts of projects help engender? I'm thinking little pockets here of – we're using the plant metaphor here, I guess, of green spaces that grow and grow and they start to interconnect. And suddenly you've got a wholesale redevelopment in a fairly broad area.
Right. Well, I think to Lucas's point, one thing that I don't want to get lost on anyone that's listening is that you know, there's nothing wrong with Jimmy John's. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with the types of development that I think we all know. You know, once again, that's a prime example. What's going on the further north part of town with you know, these large scale developments, the Bannerman Crossings, the new commercial that's going out there, which is a bit more traditionally, you know, retail focused. Although they do have some really good small businesses and locals that do go out there. There's nothing. We're not saying that what we're doing is any better than that. I mean, it's just a different model. You know, from our perspective, the people that we work with, and Lucas's point about we don't know anyone at Jimmy John's. You know, the people we work with, you know, that have the food truck down the street. You know, the Maurice Moultons at Catalina Cafe, the Matt Thompsons and Brian McKinnis from Madison Social, and you know, the people that we work with on a daily basis that we collaborate with. I mean, that's the people that we know. And so when it comes to looking at redevelopment projects, you know, from our perspective, and I think that, you know, prime example, and of course he was all over Facebook last night with the distillery project, you know, people like Dean Minardi, who just go about things in a different direction. I mean, when they did when Dean, and of course he had, you know, Kim Rivers and JT Burnett, when they came out on Garages in Gaines and created that development, you know, that was a very intentional development. I mean, they went out and curated that tenant base of local businesses that they wanted to see in there. It wasn't a matter of just building something and then going to find, you know, a retail tenant that could come in and pay the most per square foot and see if we can fill that thing out. And so from our perspective, it is more orchestrated. It is more curated. And so whether it be the Happy Motoring Station or other projects that we're looking at, the idea is you know, we work on a daily basis with people that we respect and collaborate with. And so to the extent that we can find a mutually beneficial project where we can, you know, help their business expand and grow, especially if it's ones that we've had a hand in at Domi, but also provide a basis to have some community redevelopment in that area of town, which we think is prime for it. You know, for us, that is the win-win. That is the ROI. It's not the per square foot, you know, rent. It's you know, building something, and that goes back to, you know, the Foremost Creative website. I mean, the idea was building things better, you know, whether that be digitally or of course in this case physically, but. You know, that's kind of the goal, and that's where we see. So it's not better. It's just different.
And not growth for the sake of growth, but as was said at the outset here, the idea of trying to create a community which is more attractive to a wider group of people. The old saying about Tallahassee from so many people who have graduated from FSU and FAM and TCC, I cannot wait to get out of here. This is such a boring town. There's nothing going on. You know, they move away, miss what was unique about this place, and eventually sort of come oozing back in.
Right.
But they left before they had that appreciation. Is the idea to grab them now just as they're coming out of a higher education and saying, man, this is the place I got to be because there's so much going on here?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think as they walk down the street, they might see a software company that was developed right here. You know, look at the window and say, what's happening here? Go into a, you know, mixed use space and see some local business, see that they could start something potentially on that side of town. You know, I think that's absolutely important to kind of give them a showcase, so to speak, and let them see what's going on and find some other talent that was in the same boat. You know, Lucas is a great story that, you know, came here for his master's degree and has continued to dive into the community and give back. And And I think if more and more talent and people coming from the university can see that, feel it, touch it, and meet these people and get involved, then it's going to continue to blossom. And in the last 3 years, I mean, I've been here for 4 years, and in that period of time, it's amazing what's happened from a development standpoint, from talent, from the companies growing, and especially on that side of town. It's been fantastic.
Yeah, I think everyone has an experience of someone they know who knew this town back in the day, who returned, and it probably gets lost.
Yeah. Yeah, we hear those stories weekly. I mean, I don't know how many people have come through Domi and said, you know, I can't believe you guys are here. I remember what this was like back in the day. And similarly at the Happy Motoring building, when we did our open house for the community, I mean, I had families coming in with their kids saying, you know, my dad brought me here when I was a little kid and telling me stories. And you know, that's incredible. And if we can continue that and then create new ones, you know, why should a building like Happy Motoring sit there for the next 20 years, you know, collecting dust and growing weeds on it? You know, there's no reason why we shouldn't, you know, repurpose these things and create a sense of community in these areas.
Go ahead, Lucas. You wanted to jump in there. I could tell.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that one thing that's really interesting to consider too, and you know, we're talking a lot about buildings and spaces, but one thing I've learned through working at Domi is that there's things that are even above and beyond and more important than just the space. And there's programming and events and experiential things that I think we have a real opportunity to provide in districts like on the south side. And so we've had some events, you know, that are very focused as an arts pop-up gallery. They've had live music. They've had music. It's very textual. There's very lots of different sensories engaged, right? And it's they've been incredible events and opportunities for the community to come out and express themselves and give a voice to subcultures and people who haven't had a good platform to express themselves. And I think, you know, when people don't have a voice, when they don't have a platform, they will leave to go find that somewhere else because it does exist in other communities. And it needs to also exist here. And those people need to feel like they have a voice and a way to speak truth.
You guys look at projects all over the country. Are there any things that you're kind of saying, oh, man, Columbia, South Carolina did this one upright, or Denver, Colorado, man, they have this knocked. What are you bringing kind of to this area? Because everyone goes out and says, oh, Chattanooga is great or Austin is great.
Right.
But are there any things we can borrow without losing our own special sense here in Tallahassee?
I think so. I mean, I think my wife and our advice is we travel a lot, and I spend probably more time on trips, you know, taking photos and jotting down notes of different types of businesses and developments and things that I think could work in Tallahassee that have kind of been done well. I think that's one of the benefits of being at the stage that we are in Tallahassee right now, is that you know, we have the opportunity to take what is a pretty decent, not a blank palette, but a pretty close to one, and then kind of build what we want to see around us. And I don't know there's any one area. I mean, I think that, you know, we you know, Mike and I were on the trip, the chamber trip to Boulder, which is almost 2 years ago now, and certainly they have a you know, speaking with their folks in the downtown improvement area there. I mean, they kind of understand that local sensibility. I mean, understanding the importance of that. But at the same time, they're dealing with some pretty substantial issues with, you know, they've become so popular and had so much job growth now that it's tough to have some of those local businesses, whether it be the coffee shops, the dive bars, the fun places that made it cool in the first place. It's tough for them to stay there because now they have these large national retailers and tenants that want to come in there. And, you know, for a landlord that's had that building that's, you know, 30 or 40 years sitting there to all of a sudden have the opportunity to double or triple the rent for the new tenant, it's tough to, you know, it's a tough balance to strike sometimes. And so you know, I don't know that we'll have that problem, you know, in our area anytime soon, but it's something that we're cognizant of, you know, in terms of like maintaining that integrity. But you see the same thing in places like Austin. I mean, that's it. You know, they have their South Congress, SoCo, as they call it, which is, you know, also a very, very cool area. You know, and I think that's, you know, very, very closely resembles in a lot of ways or could, you know, South Monroe. It's got that inventory of the existing buildings and structures, some smaller, some warehouse. Certainly more pedestrian oriented, but you know, they've kind of got that same mindset. But no, I mean, I don't think there's anyone necessarily out there that's, you know, you can put your finger on it and say, oh yeah, that's exactly what we need to be. I mean, we're Tallahassee. We're not going to be any of those cities. I think that what we can do is learn from what they've done right, take note of what they did wrong, and do the best we can to bob and weave as we go.
You know, one of the deficiencies we've seen to have traditionally in this town, you know, apologies going out to the gang at Bullwinkle's and all that. We're getting some new performance spaces like Exchange on South Monroe and all that thing. But for a college town, we do not have that many live music venues in comparison to some other places. Is that part of this overall plan too?
Yeah, absolutely. Live music is a huge component of what we want to see down there. And I would say, you know, we do, like you mentioned, Bullwinkle's. And last night I was at Bird's, you know, on the comedy night, right? And so there are these little hidden gems. And I think the issue is that they in a suburban style, have been kind of distributed. They haven't coalesced into a district that creates energy and vibrancy. And you can't, you know, hop from one to the other, right? I mean, if you go to Austin, there's a dozen bars in a row. You can listen to the live music of three different bars sitting at one bar. They're all so close together, right? And so it's a district approach. It's a more comprehensive approach. And I think that's the opportunity that we have. And it's anchored by these incredible public investments like FAMU Way, this capital cascades to the Sea Trail. You know, there's going to be a regional trail network from Cascades Park all the way to St. Mark's and down the coast. I mean, that's an incredible regional scale effort. We're blessed with very good people in our blueprint offices, our joint city-county working together, the city and the county in their planning department. You know, there are good plans in place. And when they lay that kind of infrastructure and we rally entrepreneurs and community builders together, we can change things in a more district approach that's comprehensive and vibrant.
We're talking to the founders of Foremost Creative Group, their project and kind of inaugural project, I guess, being the Happy Motoring, the old Esso station down there on South Monroe, now being repurposed as a gathering place, hangout for folks who have all kinds of interesting creative forces to bring to the table as we look at the reconstruction of a big chunk of Tallahassee potentially here. 414-1234 is the local number. For Perspectives, 800-926-8809 or perspectives@wfsu.org. Hey, a reminder, you can always find Perspectives online at WFSU.org. Just go to that address, click on radio, pull down the programs menu, and click Perspectives because we archive past shows. We try to have the latest program up within a few hours of when it actually airs. So you can hear this one from the beginning if you just tuned in. And if you did just tune in, we're talking with folks who were involved in the Foremost Creative Project. And those folks are Lucas Lindsay and Jay Kiker and Micah Wyden. And they're talking about the projects that they have ongoing as we look at the redevelopment, the repurposing particularly of some of Tallahassee's property. We were talking about the entertainment thing. And Jake, you said that some folks in Myers Park, again, are very trepidatious of the fact that if you have a lot of live music and stuff, you know, it'll be anywhere between 2 and 4 in the morning. I know the city commission is working on that thing, too. When do the bars shut down? And, I mean, who wants to live to next door to a noisy college bar? So you've got some concerns there, too, right?
Absolutely. Well, I think that's not concerns. I mean, that was one of the things that you'd asked earlier on if there was any pushback. And the only comment, which I think we got, which was could even be interpreted as somewhat just even critical, was questioning the fact that we are going to have a small setup for whether it be throwing up a screen to watch a soccer game or maybe some live acoustic music for a happy hour, or of course last week for the event that the culture group, which is with a Q out of FSU, had a DJ out there who was very, very good, a young man, I think, from South Florida. But I think live music is a good thing to have, but I think I put most folks minds to rest when I reiterated the fact that my home and building is actually the closest residence to Happy Motoring, and so I have a very, very vested interest to ensure that it has compatibility with the neighborhood and the surrounding residential areas. So that's something that I think that, you know, as Lucas mentioned before, when you're kind of defining these districts and looking at these districts, it's, you know, that's a balance you have to strike. From my perspective, you know, we intentionally moved into an area that we knew was going to be active and that we hoped would be more active in the future, and so Yeah, that may not suit everybody, but we're certainly cognizant of it. And we want to make sure that what we're putting in there is once again, the intent is for it to be a community engagement piece. And so that necessitates that it be something the community is happy of and happy with and proud of and wants to come and take part in. So.
Well, whether you're heading south or even west along those corridors, you do have some residential, but primarily it was commercial to begin with. Right?
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. But of course, I mean, you know, commercial in the sense I understand, you know, music is a little bit different in terms of the noise. I mean, I think it's one of those situations where I've lived down there now for quite some time and don't even realize when the train's going past. And of course, that's probably louder than anything else that could go on down there. But yeah, I mean, we think it's going to be well placed and certainly we'll be very, very compatible with what's going on in the area.
Now, let's talk visioning here. Micah, fast forward here maybe 20, 25 years. It's all speculative, of course, but if you had your druthers, king of the world type stuff here, what would you like to see in that whole area?
That's a good question. You know, as I look 20 years from now, I just think that, you know, we're going to have, you know, 10 times what we have right now in terms of, you know, local repurposed spaces that are converted into, you know, local businesses showcasing what they're doing, you know, students having a, you know, I think the education system is going to change in the way that the universities interact with the community. Already we're seeing it too with Florida State is opening up an entrepreneurship school downtown. They're going to have their building. I think you're going to see a lot more connection to the different pockets of areas. And I'm excited for that. I think, you know, more walkability, more we're seeing a lot more bicycle paths coming in. You know, I think that's another thing that lends itself down by Happy Motoring is you can ride your bike. And I do a group quite often riding from there to St. Mark's. And I think continuing to focus on those things and listening to the community, I think it's an exciting time. I think, you know, a lot of people have referenced Austin as being a as something where Tallahassee's headed, and I think that it'll be Tallahassee, but it definitely will, I think, could get there. And I think there's a lot of promise to continue to see businesses be able to really grow from here and thrive. And I think right now you're seeing the foundation being laid, and I think people need to be patient. I think that's the biggest thing.
Okay, and also to give their 2 cents worth, as you were saying, and Lucas Lindsay, the fact that we're talking about a lot of things that might be very interesting and attractive to, dare I say, hipster millennials, but we also have something called Choose Tallahassee, which is going for a much more seasoned demographic, if you will. This is not necessarily incompatible with that either, is it?
Absolutely not. No, I think absolutely not. So I think that you build communities. There's a saying, build communities for people that are 8 years old and 80 years old. And, you know, you've really built it for everyone. And as people, especially retirees, I mean, they're starting to look for more experiential stuff. They're starting to think about small scale living. And all of that is what you find in an urban district, right? And so I think that you know, walkability and safety and getting around a neighborhood is really important for people as they age. And, you know, why do you have to be stuck in a car in the suburbs if you're retired, right? And so I think all of those things, urbanism checks all of those boxes. And I think that the kind of housing that we're interested in seeing, which is a smaller scale living, some attached, some detached. You know, next month I'm going up to a tiny house festival in Decatur, Georgia, which is going to be awesome just because I'm interested in exploring the zoning and coding and architecture around those spaces. I think that appeals to all demographics, certainly segments of all demographics. And the truth is that we offer a lot of options in the suburban style to people. We're not at risk of not having that option in the community. What we need is more urban options. And so that's really expanding choice is attractive to all age groups, I think.
And the whole attractiveness of a university town and a town in which we have two major universities along with a very vibrant community college situation would seem to make it, again, a very great place for folks of all ages to live.
No, I think so. And I think, you know, going to that same question about the 20, 25 years out, I think that, you know, taking a look at the master plan that, that Florida State's put forward with the Madison Mile and connecting that district with the existing Civic Center site. Obviously, FAMU has got some great plans as well. I think they're going to continue to progress forward and continue to push the boundaries of where, what they're doing. And I agree with Lucas. I think that the idea is that, you know, if there's one, you know, my wish list of things we can have down there as we progress, I think it's going to be is hopefully getting some more housing options, you know, and not simply, you know, student housing, the apartments, those are one thing, but we need that kind of gap housing. I mean, whether it be for the first time home buyer or for the folks that are just looking for a place in that urban environment. I think that's something that we're going to need to push down there. And our hope is that by creating more attractive options like what we have, what we're trying to put together at Happy Motoring, what's going on down in Gaines Street, you know, looking at Railroad Square and seeing the demographics of people that, you know, you go to a, go to Proof on a Saturday or a Sunday afternoon and you see that demographic. You see old, young, kids, pets. I mean, this is a this isn't just hipsters and young people. I mean, this is a broad spectrum of people that, that want to have that type of urban lifestyle. In order to do that, we need that housing component, and we also probably need to take a look at the schooling component, the educational system. I mean, not having a downtown school to mm-hmm. bring in those types of folks. So if it's, it's a new professor that's coming into FSU or FAMU and wants to live in that downtown urban environment, you know, got to have a place for kids to go to school. But I think it's something that, you know, I constantly I've joked with Mike and Lucas before. I have one of my partners at the law firm that. Loves, enjoys playing golf and lives much further out on the north side of town. And, you know, I told him, I said, hey, when, you know, you can come on down and leave, leave that nice gated community and come live on the golf course at Myers Park. And instead of spending a half hour in traffic, come have a cocktail after hours at a Happy Motoring. And we'll grab a dozen oysters over at Shell at lunch and kind of hang out. So I think that we're making that pitch. And I think that as we continue to see more stuff develop down there, my hope is that'll continue to evolve. And it's, you know, not unlike what we see with Domi, it's not a matter of retaining people or retaining talent. It's just a matter of making it an attractive option, and people will, you know, somewhere where people want to be.
Yeah. Well, what you guys have done with Foremost Creative is certainly focused on a private and an entrepreneurial kind of approach to all this. Although, I mean, gee whiz, Jake, you've got connection to things like CRA and, you know, other governmental agencies. With this political season going on now, God help us all, what are you guys looking for as far as help from political entities, Leon County Commission, Tallahassee City Commission, those kinds of things? Or are you?
I don't think it's much help from them. I will say that, of course, you know, Lucas's background in the urban planning, which certainly helps a lot. But, you know, I think and this, you know, this type of development's a prime example of you know, the local government trying, and especially on the business side, I mean, trying to help you find ways to say yes as opposed to coming out and saying no. And we had a great experience. I mean, from our first sit down, the pre-application meeting for the site plans on this project. You know, I think obviously that the growth management folks were happy to see that we were embracing the multimodal, I guess the vision for multimodal. But no, I think it was just simply making it a user-friendly process that was easy to navigate. And, you know, certainly Lucas has a good background in that, which made it helpful. But I think that, you know, from that perspective, we've had a very, very good experience.
And urban infill, of course, being the hot button for just about everyone who's in elected office right now. No more suburban sprawl and that kind of thing, because that has become kind of non-sustainable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think that one way the government really should get involved is what they're good at, and that's infrastructure. And you've seen that with investments in Gaines Street and FAMU Way. That catalyzes huge amounts of private investment. If they can continue focusing on that type of infrastructure investment, whether that means fiber and broadband in a, you know, more modern sense, or whether that means streets and sewers, you know, that is what the role that they should play. And I think that they do it well. They should keep doing it.
Or the web of trails that we have right now, that's right. What's going to bring so much mm-hmm. business to you guys too.
Right. But I also think too, and this is, I don't want to I mentioned this earlier, but also the embracing the ideas and kind of that community culture. I think, you know, prime example, the collaboration with groups like COCA, and of course what they did with Street Art Tallahassee, bringing in the young man to do the murals under the overpass. I mean, that was a really neat collaborative effort from a for-profit business, the nonprofit with COCA, the local government, and those folks pushing that through. And you saw the amount of impact. I mean, that's the type of project with you know, a pretty huge amount of ROI down there, considering what was previously down there with graffiti and everything else. And so, you know, I think we've got some folks with the right mindset, and it's, you know, some folks are slower adapters than others, but it's, you know, we're getting there.
With the successful template that you have produced with Foremost Creative, room for other like-minded assemblages like you guys? I don't know, you know, the Midtown Maniacs and the, you know, the Divas of the Northeast or whatever else to also help promote this kind of redevelopment in other parts of town?
I sure hope so. I think that people build the kind of community they want to live in, right? I hope people feel empowered to do that. I want to live in a community where people believe that they can play a role in their neighborhood, that they're not just a bystander, they're not just watching. So yeah, I mean, bring it on. More neighborhood groups that are interested. You know, you got the All Saints neighborhood group, very active, very on an advocate level with redevelopment and focus on localism. You know, Levy Park and other great neighborhoods in town, I think, have networks that are coalescing. I'd love to see that.
Yeah, maybe using, again, the Council of Neighborhood Organizations, CONA. They're always looking for things to do and making them perhaps more of a force like they were at one time when they were driving a lot of this. The neighborhood associations were very proactive in trying to get a better handle on, okay, how do we want our little part of the world to move forward?
Well, and neighborhood associations and also the business and merchant associations. I mean, for a long time, I mean, that I think it was one of the driving forces in Midtown. You had the Midtown merchants and those groups with Ed Murray and some others that were out on the front end of that were really working hard. And, of course, All Saints is very, very active. And there's some folks on the south side like Terrence Henson and Bernie Gandy and others with the SOMO Business and Owners Association that are really, you know, working out there to kind of push the envelope, and we'll continue to do more in that regard. So, it's once again, the businesses and people that are in these areas embracing that. And it's, you know, it's easy to just sit back and say, this is what I'd like to see. Why not get out there and say, this is what I'm going to do to try and make that come to fruition? And once again, it may be nothing, but you know, once again, you can sit around and wish you had something all day long, or you can get out there and try and create it. And, you know, once again, if you can find some folks to kind of coalesce around that share that vision and want to go in on something with you and kind of see that vision through, then that's great. But I think that to Luke's point, I think there's more people like that in the community than I think we know. And perhaps it's just them waiting to get something, you know, waiting to get excited about a project or a business or something else. And I hope to see from a personal and also a business perspective that Tallahassee, I hope going forward that's the community attitude, that we embrace that attitude, that it's a, you know, if you've got an idea, regardless of what that idea is for a building or a business or otherwise, that you believe, you know, at some basic level that you can do it here, and that there are people that'll listen to you and help you get that done to the extent that it's feasible. And so, I think we can do that.
And on the outside chance that someone is listening to this right now and thinks, boy, this really sounds like a neat coalition to construct, to do something in our part of town, can they just give you a call, pop into Domi Station, say, hey, how did you guys do this, and what suggestions might you have that we can kind of do the same thing?
Yeah, absolutely. Walk into Domi Station, reach out to Lucas, myself, or Jake, as well as reach out on weareforemost.com and just connect. We love listening to the community, talking to people, meeting over coffee. And I think, more and more can happen.
And it's such a nice alternative to the very often, and I'm sure you guys have seen and heard this much more than I have, but the ongoing gripe fest where you have people getting, oh, it's just terrible. Everything's horrible. And here you have a group of people that said, okay, there are some things that maybe need changed, and let's get together and figure out how to go about doing that. And then moving forward with that. Just a few minutes left in the show, guys. Lucas, any final thoughts from you as you guys get ready to kind of put the capper after you really get Happy Motoring off and running, and then you're looking around for maybe some new things to do?
Yeah, you know, I think your point about not just blockading things but building things, I hope that's one of the major takeaways for folks. You know, a few months ago, a group came to town, the Better Block Foundation. City Planning Department brought them in. They've done incredible things in Texas, neighborhood development and reinvestment. And he made the point that what they do is they create networks and coalitions of people proactively. They rally them through events. They get them out to meet each other. What it creates is a network of people that can advocate for projects in an ongoing way, right? And so they end up having more impact because they came together early on, and because they advocated for things early on than if they had simply coalesced around a complaint, you know, for a commission meeting 2 weeks from now or something, right? They created social and political capital through doing that. They created credibility and gained momentum. And so I think that the more we can do proactive and reinvestment and redevelopment, and the more we can kind of build the community we love, we want to see, and create options for all people, then you know, we'll be an awesome place to live, and that's all I want.
Okay, just a couple seconds, Michael Wyden. Any final thought there?
You know, I'll just add to what Lucas said at the end. There is just building a place you want to see and where you want to live, and you know, just community people and folks that want to come out and do something, just execute, just start doing something.
Okay, and Jake, you get about 10 seconds here, sir.
No, I'm happy that I have two guys that are have a shared vision, and some other folks at Domi and otherwise. And so we're going to keep working hard. And please reach out to us if you want to jump on board.
Foremost guys, thank you for coming on Perspectives today and sharing your vision for our town. Appreciate it, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Perspectives produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. Technical assistance today provided by Sawyer Vanderwerf and Lido Rawls handling the other technical stuff. I'm Tom Flanagan. Next week, Political Perspectives returns to these airways. We'll focus on the many local and regional campaigns. Starting Tuesday, the program goes to a daily format. We'll kick it off with a race for Leon County Clerk of Court and Comptroller. You have yourself a happy and safe 4th of July. We will catch you next week right here on Perspectives.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.